everyone, and welcome. Hi, Natalia.
Okay. Hi.
You're with us.
I'm with you. I had to jump off that trampoline. I wanted to get every last second in.
I don't blame you. Good call. Welcome, everyone, to our January call. It feels like it's been a little while with all the holidays and everything. Hope everyone's doing well. I wanted to give a quick just reminder about your advanced course, Natalia, since it is a different format, and just remind everyone that it's coming up in March, March 4th to the 8th. And this time around, we're doing a 100% virtual course over 5 days instead of three. It's going to be packed with information. And if you're looking for the convenience of taking this class from the comfort of your own home, this is the time to do it. Did you want to add anything else on that note?
No, I think that covers it. I think it's going to be an exciting course. It's going to create a whole new dynamic with everyone being virtual and communicating together, sharing their experiences together. Even though I think it's going to be extraordinary to see how it all, how all that dynamic works.
Yeah, and you know, the class that I'm leading right now is all virtual, and it amazes me what's possible with technology, that we really can connect in a deep way. So, as much as if technology is kind of a love-hate relationship with it, it does serve a really good purpose. So mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to that format. If anyone has questions about it or is interested in learning more, you can check out the site or email me, of course, and I'll be happy to answer your questions. Other than that, I thought we would jump right in. And for those of you who are following us on Facebook or in the community, we've themed the call today to be on the exercise we often reference on recapitulating. Such a powerful tool for emotional healing and clearing of blocks that come into your way as you're on this cleansing path. So we're excited to guide you through it.
Yeah, it's very, very powerful. So should I talk a little bit about where recapitulation comes from and sort of just kind of to begin?
Yeah, lay the context.
Okay. Okay. All right. So recapitulation is kind of a shamanic, began as a shamanic exercise. The idea is that each human being has a certain amount of energy that they should have, that they should hold in their being, a certain amount of life force. And through living in a world of illusion, the Maya, the world of untruth, you might call it, the paradigm that has been given to us rather than the natural original paradigm, that we give this energy out and we don't get it back. And not only do we give it out, and so we thereby decreasing our storage of energy, but wherever it goes out to remains like a thread from us hooked in somewhere else. So we can be feeding something else with our energy as on an ongoing basis. Like you can think of it a little bit like an outlet, like a cord, and you've plugged your energy into something, and so it can kind of suck your energy out. And you can think about a million different ways that can happen. We can discuss some of them. And it can also just be a hook so that energy is lined up with a thought, a person, a family, a community. Even it can be any kind of a group that has that hook controls you. You're like a puppet. You're not like an authentic, real person. So you can imagine it like you've got these strings. They're either leeching your energy on a consistent basis, or that you've sent your energy out somewhere and there's a hook, and you've got to get that energy back. Now, the recapitulation is the process of bringing that energy back into your body, bringing back what was yours to begin with. It should never have gone outside of you. It was, pretty much these kinds of energy leeches, these drains, happen to us unconsciously. Again, because we think we're doing the right thing, marching in step with the world and the world's ways of doing things, and engaging in human relationships that, even though they reflect the relationships we see around us, aren't necessarily the way human relationships are supposed to work. And so thereby we have all our, you know, we have our dramas, we have these relationships that drain us rather than generate us, et cetera. So recapitulation is a way of bringing yourself back to your wholeness. And so it's very, very powerful in that way. And once you have all your energy back, you become autonomous, you become sovereign. These terms we use to describe what we're after. Because, you know, cleaning ourselves is only one tool that we use to become sovereign. It's only one. It's a very important one, but they're all really important ones. Okay, so from there, what we do is we need to have a method of figuring out just how this how these threads, how these parts of our energy went into these different directions. And so there's the big picture recapitulation, which is recapitulating our whole lives. And then we take that whole life recapitulation and we break it down into more bite-sized size pieces so that we can actually work through them without being so daunted by the whole process. So in that way, we can take it apart in two ways, really. One would be taking them apart in groups of years. So you'd say, you know, from birth to five, this is what I took in. These are the impressions I got. These are the messages I got. This is now, so given those messages, given those impressions, here's what I started to give here's where my energy started to go. And then you can acknowledge that. It's good. It's very important to write it down, to document it somehow, because you want to be able to go back and you want to actually be able to eventually have your full life recapitulated in a diary, in a journal of some sort. And you might even draw pictures. You might even just write people's names down that had big impressions upon you around that time, people you remember, people who you spent most of your time with. And then you can go deeper and deeper and deeper. And then you can go through the next 5 years of your life. And then you can recapitulate your teenage years. And then, you know, and then usually the way to do it is there'll be smaller segments of time in your younger years. So, you know, 3 to 5 year segments until you get to your mid-30s or your mid-20s. And at that point, you can do more, you know, decade-long reviews because you're kind of set in your ways at that point. You're not quite as impressionable. But when you're young, you're a sponge, and so you're just picking up so much. You really want to be so fine-tuned and detailed and really see where was I? How was I spending my time? You know, even in 6 month little burst, if you can go that get that specific. So that's one way to do it. And the other way to do it is to take segments of your programs. So you might think, okay, so I want to focus on what does it mean to be a woman? And so you're going to dissect what were the impressions I got about what it means to be a woman? Where did they come from? Okay, so what are the impressions I got from the media? And what it means to be a woman with respect to what? To power, to beauty, to allure, to femininity, to, you know, a particular time period, to what it means to be a woman in her 20s versus what it means to be a woman in her 50s. And, you know, so you can really, I mean, we can get so specific with recapitulation. And the hope is that you'll start out with a concept and you'll love the concept and you'll be healed by the concept so much that you'll want to go deeper, and you'll see that you're perfectly empowered to do this work on your own, that you don't need to go and sit down with somebody and pay somebody and go visit somebody who has some sort of credentialing. All you have everything you need. You have your memories. You have the only obstacle will be your inability to see yourself. So if you can just get really, really honest, and this is where the only people I see that ever walk into roadblocks with really any kind of work, just life in general, are the people who aren't willing to be truly honest with themselves, who really only want to see what they want to see, who want to cling to the story of themselves that they've accepted, and that's it. So if you can get really down and dirty with yourself and see the things and write down the things, speak the things that you'd really rather maybe not, because maybe they really mess that story you have about yourself up, that's when you're going to get into the nitty-gritty that's going to bring this energy back to yourself. And it's so worth it. It's, you know, what you might do is if you do run into these obstacles and you are afraid to see, then there's something to recapitulate on. Why am I afraid to see truth? am I embarrassed? Is there a family kind of, is there a sense that I was raised with that, you know, that certain things shouldn't be spoken about, or, you know, where does this desire to cover things up and disguise lies as truth and truth as lies come from? And that might be your key that will unlock that door for you. But you've got to get into that door, and you've got to see what's behind it. And when you do, you'll start to see all this, oh, this energy. Look, I can take this back now. I don't need that anymore. The second you see it, it comes back. As long as you are able to acknowledge that you don't need that to move forward in your life. And the goal is that basically you have the memory, but it doesn't have the charge anymore. So when you can remove the charge from the memory, you've been fully successful. And there might be some things that you asterisk or make some sort of note to yourself that you might need to come back to later, that you know you're able to pull your energy back from these places, but maybe you've only gotten 50% back from this other place. So make a note of that and then go back to it, you know, eventually. But you'll be amazed at how much more efficient, successful you'll be with cell cleansing and in every area of your life when you start to release all this. And you'll feel, when we talk about that visceral experience of energy flooding your cells, you'll feel that same thing come back to you, or you'll feel that same experience through recapitulation, because there's so much energy that will return to you. And you'll know it because you'll feel so inexplicably, not kind of hopeful is the right word, you'll feel so inexplicably full of a knowing that you're solving something, and that and it will give you great joy. Just you have to stick with it, though. You can't just feel that joy and be excited about it and then think, oh, well, okay, you know, I can just kind of go back to living now. You got to keep, you know, you might want to just siphon, or not siphon, but you might want to take a six-month period and say, I'm going to commit to recapitulation over 6 months. And you take it apart in pieces over those 6 months. Joanna, I'll
yeah,
hand it over to you from
there. Yeah, I was going to say, just one of the greatest gifts of this kind of work and process is that it no longer feels right to be dishonest anymore. And then it affects even just the way you're operating in your everyday life. Just, you know, it's like it's this release of the contraction that the lies or the resentments or all of the drama that's holding in your body. And then the feeling of being free for that makes it just impossible to live dishonestly moving forward. And it's this ongoing process that's so important, so vital to this work.
Yeah. Yeah. So if anyone has any questions, please let us know. We're happy to you know, be detailed. Maybe we should go over some different things that can be recapitulated.
Yeah, I also think a question that would come up based on what we just talked about too is then, so, you know, there's what I hear often is there's this fear around, well, I have to go revisit the past and go, you know, mm-hmm. shine the light on all these painful experiences and memories. I'm scared of them not really going away. You know, there's mm-hmm. kind of a fear around that process. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is, the past is always going to be with you in the present if you don't remove the leech, the drain that it holds. So you might not actively and consciously be conjuring up the images and the memories in your daily life, but make no mistake, they're hovering around you. If they're draining your energy, if they're connected to you, so it's, you're already doing it anyway. Now do it consciously and release it. So if you know, if you can see in your everyday relationships the way you treat certain people differently to others, the way you speak, your self-talk, your mind talk, your mental chatter, all of that, all those things, every the most minute detail in how you communicate and how the choices you make every day all come from, they're all an out-breath of the in-breath that you've taken in over the years which is your memories, your experiences, and the imprints that they make on you. So it's really just behooves you to go back and take the energy back from them, because the memories are, you know, are, it's optional to think, to conjure up the memory consciously. Right now, you're just conjuring it up. It's walking with you. It's unconsciously, subconsciously.
True. Yeah. Okay, so should we go through a couple of themes that people could apply this for?
Yeah, that would be great. I think the biggest one is what it is to be a woman. I think that one is a really big one. I'm happy to dissect that even further, a little bit like we did, but maybe even more so. Because that's going to bring you back to the biggest question, which is, who am I? Right? You're going to have to ask yourself eventually, like, what does it mean to be a human? What does it mean to be me? So it's a little easier to start with the things that might define you. So for the guys listening, what does it mean to be a man? For the girls listening, what does it mean to be a woman? And going through all of that, because that's the nearest thing to what you've come to identify as yourself. And then I would go through, what does it mean to be a, fill in your nationality? So what does it mean to be an American? What does it mean to be maybe of the political alignment that you associate with? Because that's all part of your story. Or what does it mean to be someone who doesn't have a political story? What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a Jew? What does it mean to be a Muslim? What does it mean to be a Sufi? What does it mean to be a yogi? Any of these things that you've identified with, what does it mean to be that? What's that?
Any roles, too.
Any roles, exactly. Right.
Mother.
Good. What is, right. And we can, and you can lump that into the feminine. But what does it mean, right? If you're a teacher, what does it mean to be a banker? What does it mean to be a nanny or a shop owner? And like, what does it mean to be a leader? Or what does it mean to be, to be working for a shop owner? Think about all these things that you've identified with. These are all going to play into it. And they're all going to have these hooks. And then you'll start to see, wait, but that's not me. That's just, you've heard this before. That's not me. That's just what I do. But the problem is that people really do become what they do. And they do believe themselves to be what they do for the most part. Some people who have consciously thought about it have separated themselves somewhat from it. But, because that's how you can start to also become more of an actor when you're actually just doing your job. If your job, in my case and in Joanna's case, what we do is such an outbreath of who we are and what we are, and it's part of our service. But it took us a while to come to that. So we had other roles before we had this outbreath of ourselves, and these other roles weren't part of what we I'll speak for myself. Joanna, it's unfair to lump you in there because you don't know what I'm going to say. But before I knew what it meant to be a human truly, and before I could define what I was doing here, I wore different roles, and I kind of assumed what society would have me assume it meant. To fill in. To fill in as a girl in society, according to society's rules. And when I came closer to what it meant to me to be a human, it meant to be of service to all that is, to the interconnected network of life. So if I'm of service to life, then what I do as a mother, as a wife, as a friend, as a teacher, as a student, all has to is all an outbreath of that. So, even if you're now in a role that doesn't align with what you come to, and that may not be the same thing I've come to. Maybe something entirely different. And part of what it means to be a human is this unlimited, these unlimited options of what there is for people. But in the meantime, when you walk into that, say you're a surgeon, you can go into your moments of being a surgeon when you're actually operating or when you're consulting with a patient, you can know that you are actually a human being playing the role of and filling the role of being a surgeon in that moment. But you as, you know, Jane Doe, John Doe, are not that. You're an actor filling a role, a necessary role in that situation. And so we can stop, we're not really operating as autonomous beings if we're so caught up in what we think we are. If we're caught up in that, then we're not above that. We need to be above that. We need to just be able to be playing a role in those moments, knowing that you're an actor playing a role, rather than being on stage thinking that you're actually, this is what you are. There's nothing worse than an actor not knowing that he's an actor. I mean, that's really, really sad, right? I mean, can you see that? So that's what we're trying to get out of. Most people in the world right now are actors that don't know they're actors. They don't know that they're actually a human acting as whatever role in society they're playing. So when you can operate from that perspective, then you have all this energy, your human energy is full. And then you're like, okay, I'm here, I'm in this moment, and this is what this person needs right now, and this is what I'm able to provide them with. But I'm not so in that. And when the Buddhists talk about attachment, it's hard to grasp the concept sometimes of attachment. If you know you're playing a role, you're not going to be tied up with and attached to the outcome of that situation, because you know that's not what matters. And so if you're not attached, you're not giving your energy out. So it's all what the shamans talk about, what the Buddhists talk about, the Sufis, they're all getting at the same thing, that we've got to stop getting swept into the tide of playing this role and believing that we are the role, because that's attachment, that's the energy drain, that's where it all goes downhill.
Okay. I see some people are starting to chime in, like they have questions. Should we take
Great.
A couple of those?
Definitely.
Okay. I'm going to go to Caprice. Caprice, are you there?
Yeah, sorry about that. Hi, Amanda. Oh, goodness. Where's my mind at now? Hi, Joanna. Hi, Natalia.
Hello.
Okay. Hello. Hey, I have a quick question.
Amanda says hi, too, I'm sure.
Yeah. I know. I talk to everyone here. I love you guys. So my question is this. When you go through the technique of writing down past experiences, how then do you go about releasing it?
Mm-hmm.
You write
Perfect.
It down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Mm-hmm. Then what?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you write it down and you've identified it, but you have to experience it. So you know it's not just writing it down and saying, okay, we're not making a grocery list. I'm not saying that you're writing it down as a grocery list, but you're identifying it, and then you have to go into the experience a little bit and see how it's set into you and feel the imprint. And if you can feel what it makes you feel, so where does it make you feel? Find the place in the body that comes up. It could maybe you feel it. In your throat, you feel maybe your throat close up a little bit. Maybe you feel it in your hips get tight. There'll be some sort of contraction in your body. If it's not a contraction, it might be your palms start sweating. But if it's connected to something, anything that's good is going to be expansive in terms of emotion. Okay, I don't mean in terms of gas pressure, in terms of emotion. Anything that is fear-based or in some way negative, it's going to make you kind of close up somewhere. So see if you can feel where it's causing you to contract. So you're going to have to go into the memory a little bit. It's going to be a bit of a meditation. So this is not something you want to do while you're doing other things. And then feel where you're feeling it. Identify it. Put a picture on it. Put a feeling on it. Put a word on it. Put a face on it if it is. And it's very important to thank the experience, to thank the person. So if we can really stay in ruts if we look at it and we're like, you know, that was my, you know, my aunt or my mother or my brother, and they, you know, that's why I feel that. And I'm all screwed up now. I've got this hook in me and this energy drain that's going right into them. And damn it, I knew they were bad people all along. You know, that's not going to help at all. So what we do is, and knowing that everyone's playing a role and we've all, you know, we're all here to grow from each other in these experiences, we thank the experience, we thank the person. We just got in the golden nugget, and you can, if you can bring them into your memory, we'll just say it's a person for argument's sake, bring them into your memory and watch them handing you this golden nugget, and you're taking the golden nugget from them, and the golden nugget holds that energy. It's a beaming gold nugget, a gold bar, or whatever you want to look at it. A chest of golden coins can be anything. But see the glow, feel the glow, feel that it's alive, it's living energy. This is not some dormant thing. This is living energy that it's open and they're handing it back to you and you're receiving it back. And you look at them and you thank them like you would thank them if they gave you this golden glowing bar, right? You say, thank you for the experience. Thank you for the lesson. I've got the energy back. There's no reason anymore for you to hold anything against them. They've given it back to you. You've taken it back. They've given it back, however you want to look at it. Conductivity is better than a one-way street. And then that's when you know that it's all come full circle. It's been freed. It's been open. It's yours again. There's no debt anymore. There's no more debt, right? So then you acknowledge there's no more debt. You bring that piece back into you. But here's the thing. Now you have to change the thought pattern that was the drain. So if, for example, it's your mother and she sent you the message that a woman needs to be thin and attractive to attract a man. Okay, so you've acknowledged that, you've identified it, she's handed it back to you, you've seen it, it's the glowing energy is coming back to you, but then you have to stop and say, okay, so now what do I really believe about this? Because now it's my choice. Now my mother is not telling me this. Now it's my choice what I'm going to believe about what it means to be attracted to a man. So you might even continue to go through your life thinking, well, I've got my golden nugget back. I'm not upset with my mom anymore. It wasn't her fault. But you know, it's kind of true. It's kind of what I believe now. So now you have to take responsibility for that belief. What I would recommend, if it were me, is I would think about what it means to be a woman and what it means to create wholeness in relationship with male-female relationships. And that would tell me a lot more about what the male energy really craves and how the female energy can really fill that. And I would also think about how men programmed to desire that have lost their own energy, have lost their own power, have given away their own energy, their own power and energy. So what you could say is a thin, attractive woman thin, pretty woman is attractive to a man who's programmed to desire that. And then you've set both sides free. And what you've also done is you've identified that a man who's not programmed to want that is going to be attracted to something else. So you can play with this quite a bit, but then you can start to identify what it means. I would go from that exercise into what it means to be attracted to the opposite sex. And you know, and then you know, you can go further and further, but ultimately what hopefully will help the person come to is that a whole woman who's in her center, who's sovereign, who has all her power and all her energy, is going to be attractive to a man who has all of his energy and his power. And that's where we want to get to as a society. And it will also, if this was the programming, it will enable you to be set free from feeling like you need to be that, or that you'd even want a man who's programmed for that, so that you have to keep on wasting your energy trying to be that when you could be so much more. And you could still be, you know, lean and pretty. You'd just be so much more than that. And you'd probably just be that as a byproduct. Or not. Maybe your body shape is different, but you're owning that beauty, whatever it is that truly means, that you identify that truly means. I don't want to put my ideas, I don't want you to necessarily accept my ideas as what beauty and attractiveness are. Those are the things, those are some of the things I've thrown out there that I've come to, but they're just simply maybe guides to your own truth, which, you know, could be much bigger than that. But so basically you're receiving it, the conductivity is there, you're releasing it, it's your own, you're bringing your energy back to yourself, and then you're taking responsibility for that thought, and then you have to transform that thought into something else so that you can now have a new way of thinking about these things, and that's when you really have the energy back and it's really, really yours.
Okay. So when you're doing it for yourself versus other people, that's when your energy is back, basically. And if you enjoy being so feminine and powerful and, you know, joyous and happy and all those wonderful things, if you truly enjoy that from your soul, then that is, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it is. I enjoy being feminine, so that's okay. That's part of, I mean, that's, right? If you're doing it for yourself, not for somebody else, is that when you can truly feel that that is who you are? Does that make sense?
No. Give me a little bit more background.
So for some women, if they would create this persona about themselves to attract a man, let's say, thinking that's what the man wants, that's not really who they are. Maybe that's not who they are, but they're creating that character for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
But when you cut through all that and you get down to the soul of the person, and you, so when I was younger, I would do that. You know, I would learn how to create that for a man. But now I'm realizing, no, I really like this for myself. Nobody else has to be around. I enjoyed, you know, taking a bath with a candle or having my green juice and all those wonderful things that I do for myself. So it wouldn't matter what I look like to the rest of the world. It just matters how I feel myself.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's not exactly what I was getting at. But I think the idea is that whatever the program is, you want to identify it as a program and you want to see the truth behind it. So it's simply that if the program is you have to be pretty and thin to attract a man, then, and you want to cancel that program because it's a drain to your energy, then you say, no, men are attracted to the divine feminine. So what is divine feminine? Only a man who is programmed to be attracted to somebody who's skinny and pretty is going to be attracted to that. That's so they're just wired for it. You know, I see certain, it's interesting, I mean, I don't want to go too far in this direction of men and women, but there are people, I notice sometimes that people immediately turn their heads to look at certain people because, and they don't even know why they're doing it half the time. It's like they've been given this picture of what they should find attractive. So when it walks by, boom, without even their go-ahead, seems to be going ahead without them. But the point is just to really, the key here is to identify what it is and to change it, because as long as it's not changed, it's going to continue to be a drain. So it's kind of like you're just moving it somewhere else. Like, you know, you don't like there's certain things in your closet that are taking up space, so you move them into a different closet. But that it's still in the household of your being. Do you see?
Thanks, Natalia. That was wonderful. That was cute.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I really want this to be understood. If it's not, then I'll try to explain it another way.
No, I think.
But as long as you can
do a fabulous job, I think it is understood. It with this whole process of cellular cleansing, you know, you notice things, you know, lifting daily almost, it seems mm-hmm. like what I've experienced, mm-hmm. those things lift daily. So how I feel mm-hmm. right now, and, you know, you get more powerful every mm-hmm. second of the day, it feels like.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Well, the other, you do, and this is the other thing I was going to say, is that we were talking about playing roles and being actors before. If you ever, like, if take this this example of, you know, what attracts a man. If you can identify it, but you're not sure you're ready to let it go yet, what you can do, and this is really, really powerful, will help let go, is you can allow yourself to still, you know, say you've grown into this woman and you've gotten yourself into this kind of shape and you look a certain way because of that programming, but you no longer really want the programming, but you're still kind of attached to something about it. You're not ready to let go. So what you do is you continue to be that way, to do all the things that you want to do, that you know to do, to maintain that external appearance, but you become the observer and you see, you accept, you say, for a little while, I'm going to keep acting this role. I'm going to keep playing this, but I'm going to be totally aware of the fact that I'm playing out, I'm acting this role that I've, you know, this program that I've accepted. And that will take the energetic charge out of it by at least 50%. Because you're suddenly taking responsibility, you're watching yourself, you're not the actor that doesn't know he's acting anymore. It doesn't know he's an actor. So just you just rise above yourself. You say, okay, I'm still going to put all this stuff on. I still want to get these looks. I still want to have all these men ask me out. And they're all programmed for this. And I still want that attention. I'm not ready to let go of that yet. This is just an example. But I'm going to do it knowing that this is a social programming. This is a parental programming. And I'm playing in this game, but totally, totally consciously. And as you do that, you'll start to see it'll get weaker and weaker and weaker because you'll be like, oh, this is so stupid. Like, what do I want to do? I want to be divine. I want to be a divine woman. I want my beauty and wellness to be the out-breath of a true inner balance, wholeness, and harmony. And then that will come. And it can be a funny transition between the two sometimes. But the irony, too, is that you'll have, you know, I'm working on a book right now called Youth Regeneration, and there's so many things that women do to keep their shape, and it's all stagnant. So what winds up happening is their shape, their beauty, they do these rituals that keep them looking a certain way, but because it's stagnant, they have to keep on finding new ways to look that way because they're the stagnant aspect of it is going to make them look older. It's going to have this typical kind of social aging thing happening that, you know, we're used to seeing. But if this individual can let all that go and move into their wholeness and focus on their sovereignty and their autonomy, and their physique and their beauty is an outbreath of that inner wholeness, then the stagnation, that calcification, isn't going to happen. So calcification is what follows stagnation. Calcification is the next step in physical deterioration. But you remove that, you're going to have this flow in the body. And so as the years progress, as decades progress, this openness, this flowing of the life force, of the sovereignty, the inner power, that's all going to manifest in this beautiful expression, and it's going to be naturally the right shape. It's, you know, harmony in nature has always expresses itself beautifully, and it's not going to be like this, you know, the equivalent of what is that, the vain man who looks in the mirror as he ages, he doesn't want to accept his aging. You guys know it's the legend of something something. Anyway, it's not going to be this trying to hold this picture together at all cost. You're going to naturally avoid looking like you're decaying because you're not going to be decaying, and you're going to to be beautiful far into the future. So it solves so many things. I might eventually even say it solves everything if you can get into your autonomy. So this is where recapitulation, again, you can take any category, success, what it means to be successful. We talked about, mother, all these different categories that we can think of. I'll think of some more in a minute. It solves all the problems that come up in all these different categories if you can just be the truth in your wholeness with all your energy, with the ability to see 360 degrees all around you, meaning your habits, where they come from, the hooks, the energy drains. You see how you operate, how you communicate, and you watch yourself, and you say, wow, this is coming from here. I don't need to do that anymore. I don't want that anymore. And then when people say, well, I want to stop overeating, or I hate the fact that I go out to social lunch and I, have these things, or, they talk about food in a vacuum. It fixes all that stuff because you're no longer colluding with the stuff that doesn't mean anything to you anymore, that you've identified as being, not for your highest good, because you've done all the recapitulation exercises. So it's really a silver bullet thing if you can stick with it and be brave enough to see everything and be strong enough to do the work it takes to cancel out the old programs and replace them with higher belief systems. We just keep, you might call it a higher order of being, a higher order of thinking, and you just keep on increasing that. It doesn't have to be perfect. It has to be of a higher order, though, than it was. And then you keep on, and then as you do that, you'll be able to keep creating higher orders and higher orders. It's kind of like when you first get into cleansing, you get rid of a few, more surface symptoms and issues, and then you go deeper and you're able to release the deeper illnesses that could be manifesting or have manifested. You get to the deeper and deeper stuff, and your body gets physically gets into a higher order of being. Well, this is your ability to have belief systems that are part of are of a higher order, and we just make them better and better ordered as we desire to. As we just, not everyone aims to see all that's wrong and fix it, but some of you want to fix a lot of it so that your life can be that much more enjoyable, so that it can be that much more satisfying, so you can be better at being a mother, better at being a wife, better at being a friend. And then you just kind of decide how far you want to go.
And this whole concept of being observer, too, it's so important, too, because then you begin to catch your thoughts as they come in and can get so strong at reframing them and just letting them go in the moment. And that's, then you just keep moving forward with this and keep releasing as you go on. It's not like you sit down on a Sunday afternoon, recapitulate, and have let go of everything. It's this ongoing catching, observing, reframing, changing of thought that happens.
Well, okay, one last question. Joanna just brought that up. When you catch yourself throughout the day, like, okay, I know where that came from, and I'm choosing, I don't want that to happen. How do you reframe it in a positive way where you can move forward? Versus, getting stressed about it, going, oh my gosh, I don't want that to happen. You want to be calm. Okay.
The one thing I always do first is I laugh at it. I laugh at myself. I laugh at, it's more like it's like a little bit of amusement that I've even that I could even think so narrowly about something that it's made me think that way. And so the humor just makes it immediately more approachable, because I genuinely do find it funny. And I think that's something I maybe I've trained myself to do, because I know most people would think, well, I don't really find it funny when I get really stressed out over this thing. But if you see yourself and you just, I have this word that doesn't really mean anything. It's just, it's shook. It's just, I just say that when I say it in my head sometimes, I say that loud sometimes, when I just kind of can't, I'm just exhausted about something, or I just can't believe I've done something or thought something. So I'll just be like, shook. And that will be my kind of trigger, where this needs to be looked at. Like, okay, so let's look at it, and let's look at it with a light heart, And then you might not even have all the answers, but you've seen it. The fact is you've seen it. Whereas before, you were walking through life totally unconscious with regards to this particular thing. And so the more you see it, the more, and then you start to just, the wonderful thing that happens later is that once, as you start to shed these things, your state of being, your mental chatter, your state of mind, where your comfort zone is, moves. So a lot of people are, even though if they're really stressed and they have this negative mental chatter, that's still their comfort zone. That's where they exist. That's where they live. You know, they may have a really dirty house, but that's their house, you know, and that's where they're at home. Don't throw me out of my house. That's where I live. So the more we do this, the more we shed, the more we catch ourselves, obviously doing it with desire to be clear and sovereign and all these things, the more you move toward that. You know, we talk about the bridge, transition bridge, and cellular cleansing. Well, same thing. If you want to put the you know, the idealized version of yourself on the other side of a bridge, and you can just imagine any bridge, however you want it, design it, you know, however you want to, and you see this very clear, open, happy, joy-conducting being on the other side of it. That's you, but in this, you know, in this different kind of mental, emotional, spiritual being, then you can just imagine walking toward that. And so at every step, every interval in between where you are now and this idealized version of yourself that you're going to, you can see that with every step you're going to be more of that than you were this. Okay. And so your comfort zone, like if you look at that, the idealized you, that idealized you's comfort zone is clarity, serenity. Doesn't mean life isn't exciting. Doesn't mean that amazing things aren't happening. Doesn't mean you don't do cool things and hang out with cool people and listen to cool music and, you know, go to cool. No, it's more. It's better in a million different ways. But it's their sense that the being's home, their comfort zone, is a place totally centered, that's totally operating from air traffic control. It's not being pulled in all these different directions with all this madness and crazy thoughts that, you know, taking it over and subliminal messages speaking through to it and all this, none of that. So you just get closer to that. And with each interval, as I was saying, you get to enjoy being more of that than what you're starting from. And that's a really, it's a constant gratification that you can measure. You can say, okay, and it's funny too when you start to do, when you do this and you move forward and you move forward toward that idealized version, you can often forget just how mad your old mental chatter and headspace and heart space was, you know, and how closed and how contracted your energy centers felt and how everything irritated you, because it's just too hard to fathom that you could have been that burdened and bogged down and vampired, you know, energetically vampired to that extent.
Right. No, absolutely. Okay, one last question. You brought up when you do see it, you are aware, you're observing yourself throughout the day, and it's like, okay, I know where that came from. You did bring up you brought up the point, you don't always have to know where it comes from, and that's what I was struggling with lately, is I would try to figure out, okay, where is this coming from? And I don't always know where it's coming from, but can you just observe it and recognize it and move on?
You can. I would say at least give it something like, say, well, look, it's a social. If it's something that most people think is true, or it's a thought that maybe, you know, that a vast majority of people have, then you can just chalk it up to social conditioning, and just at least you know that, well, it comes from the collective unconscious.
Okay, perfect. So at least give it something and kind of mm-hmm. laugh at it and kind of move on.
So move on. See, and be like, I got that. Good for me. Good witnessing.
Good job. You lied about it. Okay, perfect. Well, you guys are so wonderful. Thanks, both of you. I appreciate it. Huge help. Great information.
It's an absolute pleasure. I hope it helps.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
Yeah, is underscoring this whole concept that we choose the thoughts that we have. And now all of a sudden we can make better choices. And how freeing and amazing that is, that you don't need to live with that anxiety that you've felt like was a part of you and you've lived with your entire life, that can go.
It's true. And you can see it happen in the smallest thing. Like you have a thought, and then that thought contributes to a conversation that you have 5 minutes later. And it's like if it's a negative thought, it poisons the conversation in some way. And there's a conflict, or there's something that was said that shouldn't have been said. And if you were in your center, you wouldn't have maybe said that. And you know, and this is why we're constantly having to clean up our karma, because all it is cause and effect. But if the cause, the original cause, is the thought, and we know that through recapitulation, we can actually get behind the thoughts, the original cause, the original cause behind the original cause, which is the belief. Then, and we can remove the mistake in belief. Then suddenly we've just cleared. You know, if you want to think about it in terms of karma, you cleared a ton of future negative karma that would have come from carrying that belief system another minute into your life. It's huge.
It's so true, and I hope that everyone's feeling like there's that this process is clear, that there's a way out, that this is part of everyone's journey if you really want to go to these deeper layers, and this is such a powerful tool for getting unstuck. That's kind of the whole thought behind this call. So if any of part of this isn't clear, you know, ask the questions now. We'd love to get more specific for you.
Yeah, please.
Bruna. Hi, Bruna.
Hi.
Hi, Bruna.
Hi, Natalia. So, you know, I get all that. Totally get it. My question is something else. It's like living this path of being more and more enlightened, you know, and I was more before, you know, you get off, fall off the wagon, and my big thing is falling off because old patterns come in, and suddenly I feel embarrassed. And suddenly the group I'm in, I can't communicate, or I just let that whole avalanche of whatever it is, their programs just come right back into me and reprogram myself. So, you know, is it lonely? You know, is it really supposed to be lonely, or is it supposed to be then, you know, a life of service? You know, like you, Natalia, you join, you know, you have this community, and that's, I think, something that makes you more powerful, keeps you in check, or keeps you going, because you have a platform to go talk to people, you know, and further these ideas. I just feel lonely, and I know that I fall off because I'm not involved, or maybe I'm not of service of how I should be, or how I want to be. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, two things come up immediately. Mm-hmm. Sorry?
No, I was just mentioning, to wrap it up, my mother once gave me a book, the Renee Maria Rilke Letters to a Poet, and okay. Just saying, you know, Bruna, you have this artist spirit, and you're going to be alone. Like, you are going to be alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's a beautiful book. And I just remember Dorian Gray was the one I was trying to think of who looked in the mirror. But two things. One is that the friends are showing you. They're just showing you again, because you know, for some reason, if it keeps pulling you down into that belief pattern, and it makes you feel defeated, it's because you still need to see it. So they're providing a mirror for you. Let's see, what was the other thing I wanted to tell you? It can be a lonely path. Oh, I know what I want to say, is that it does really help to have at least one friend who gets you, who gets the process you're going through. I wish you a great friend like that. Because you should be able to just share and be understood, so that you can you know, be around this other group, and you don't necessarily need to not see them. as long as you can see them as they are, and you know, and have sort of an unconditional love relationship with them, where you're with them because you love them. You don't need them to change. You don't need them to be anything else but what they are. You enjoy being with them. You can conduct in that environment. If you can't, then it probably does require taking a break from them. But it would be wonderful if you could have at least one friend that you could really just be honest with. Is there no one that that you feel you can communicate without any kind of boundaries? Maybe the wrong word. Without having to censor yourself.
My husband, yes.
Mm-hmm.
The trick there is, you know, our child is with us all the time, and mm-hmm. and we're working all the time, and we moved, mm-hmm. you know, upstate. So my husband goes back to the city for 3 days. So we really are actually in a moment that we got to find time. Like, when do we talk?
Mm-hmm.
It's always, you know, something else. But to talk, like, of these higher things, like, it's like we have not had time. And actually, I think a couple of years, you know, we have a glimpse here and there, but it's not like that we're growing, you know.
You know, I would ask, and this may sound maybe a little bit cheesier to me, I would literally ask the universe, ask your guides, who, you know, to bring some friends who you can communicate with like this into your life. I have, even, you know, outside of the Detox the World, I have at least three people that I could say are totally on the same page with me. They came into my life over the last decade, and that's meant that so much. I mean, it's so important to have, and they happen to be, well, I mean, there's a couple, actually I have a couple of male friends that are like this too. It doesn't have to be a woman. And it makes a huge difference to be able, because then you don't, you can question yourself, you question your sanity, because you feel so sane, and yet everyone else is behaving in this way, kind of like you're the, you know, I used this analogy the other day, it just came to me, that you're like the only sober person in a bar. And you kind of need someone else to be sober just to clarify that you're the sober one, you know. So, and you need to be free. But at the same time, there is an aspect to it that can be lonely. I mean, where it's a courageous journey, and in that way, I think, you know, just like a fighter practices on his own before he goes into the ring, there's an aspect of this that's always going to be a solitary journey. And but at the same time, if you can remember that this is what all of life desires, that healing, that unity, that you're, on the one hand, in your individuated consciousness, you're experiencing this kind of loneliness. On the other hand, you know, the heartbeat of the living, what we call Mother Earth, Gaia energy, is, you know, is calling out for this, and so is every you know, a little thorn bush on the side of the road that clings to life and wants to live. And none of us can be successful at life if the whole isn't successful at life. So you're not alone. There's this, you know, this wholeness that really is there, but it just feels so isolated because, you know, you're living in a kind of an isolated, we're all living in such an isolated kind of world paradigm. Isolating, I should say. But take heart, you know. There. I do think if you ask for these people to come into your life, you know, really make it a call from the heart that just ripples out into the universe. I think that you will be drawn to each other, and know that you're not doing anything wrong as long as you're doing it, even if it feels lonely and you feel like you're the only one, the only sober person. it's not wrong. And let that group be a mirror to you for as long as they need to be, and then it's a good feeling too when you can take the gift they give you and still be able to honor them in their journey, knowing that they aren't seeing what you're seeing because they're not meant to at this stage. That's not what they're here for yet. They might be in 10 minutes time. They might be tomorrow. They might be in a month. They might be not for a very, very long time. But that's okay. They're where they're supposed to be in their journey, and you are too.
Yeah, I think that the big thing for me is just to honor people, yeah, where they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have that aha moment, you want the whole world to have it. Then you, it hurt, But so the other thing, so the three people that you have, are you aligned like in every aspect or no?
I mean, like when you say on every aspect...
No, let's, okay, I just make some, I guess the ones that are big for me right now, you know, parenting, eating, and living. Living, you know what, I guess then it's everything, right, which what you choose.
Well, one of them is a gay man, so he doesn't have kids. One of them is, a woman in her early 50s, and she didn't have children. Another one has has two kids in the UK. I mean, but the fundamental the commitment to higher order and the affection that we have for each other, the natural affection, the combination of those things means that we have an endless supply of laughs, of conversation, of things that like we can really come together on, and then when we have life issues, we can really help each other because we really understand each other, and because of that affection, you know, we can we're not in an attached way, but we're tied, we're connected at the heart. We feel the other's life experience, and we know we want the best for it. We can trust each other to help us make good choices when these things become, and these choices are important to make. So that sort of thing. It's less about like, I give my child only sprouted grain bread, and I, give my child chicken. It's deeper than that.
One of the people in my life too is someone that I met through this course that we were taking together, and we just stayed in touch through that, and we talked to each other once a week, and we've never met in person. But we tell each other so much, and we push each other. It's amazing. It's like you can think outside the box with this, too. That doesn't have to be someone in your vicinity, and, who knows where they come from.
And so many different age groups. I mean, one of my favorite things about my own life and my own social network is that I have so many friends who are much younger than me and so many friends who are much older than me. Up until she passed away recently, I had a friend in her 90s, and I've got in every decade I've got some amazing people that I know, and it's I suppose not to put a block on anything, because they can come from anywhere.
Yes, this is great. Yeah, and I actually have to. I guess it's the whole making time and really creating the space. Let's have weekly calls, something like that. But yeah, I will channel, and we will find each other.
And it's something to. One of the things I wanted to do a long time ago was to put together kind of almost like a matchmaking. It started out as a matchmaking service idea of where people who are conscious wanting to meet other conscious people. For romantic relationship, if they're going to want to date someone, they want to meet someone who's kind of on their same wavelength. And then as I started to think about more and more, I was like, well, people probably just want to meet other people like that in general. but I think, what we have on the community is that in large part. And I think if people who maybe there's some way we can improve, we can add some dynamic to the community, or maybe create an area for people who want to, to connect more in person or on the phone or something. Maybe there's something that can be done, because in many ways, there's so many potential great friends out there for you just on the community that you might not, but maybe, as I said, calling out to the universe, maybe even just, and maybe this is your call out to the universe. Maybe there's something we can do. Maybe there's something, that is already now being put into play because of this conversation. But if community members are interested in something that will help bring them together more than we offer now, please let us know. And if you have ideas of how you'd like to do that, or how, what you'd like to see, let us know, because we're here for you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. If I come up with any ideas, I will certainly share.
Thank you. We'll look forward to that. Okay. Brenna, thank you so much for sharing. Lots and lots of love.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Joanna.
Okay, so we're at the hour. Natalia, you want to see if anyone has any last-minute questions before we say goodbye?
Yeah, for sure.
Anyone has any questions on anything we talked about or any thoughts on their mind they want to share with us, then just press 1 on your keypad. I'm not seeing anything right now.
We've scared everyone away, I'm afraid. Joanna, thank you for going through this with me. I think hopefully the recapitulation exercises will be very helpful. People, if they have any questions, I hope people will send their questions in, because this is a big one. We want to make sure you really understand. And let's see what else we have. Everyone knows what we have coming up, right? And the Anita's course.
Yeah, let's talk on that for a second, because I think that's so connected to this whole conversation.
So connected, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to, for those of you, so the question on how to really release and move past and grow, if you're looking for some spiritual growth and really guidance in this, then Natalia, myself, Anna, we all have benefited greatly, and so have many people actually in our community are a part of that course as well, with Anita Briggs. She's just an incredible guide in this work. So we're really excited that the dates should be figured out, but April, May is what we're looking at, maybe in the summer.
Yeah, we'll pin down a date in the next few weeks, but for anybody who is attracted to what we were talking about today, or wants to create a higher order for their life, definitely take the course with Anita Briggs. We're going to do a joint course so that those people who have been exposed to my work, who have not been exposed to hers, will get be able to receive hers, and then the people who followers of hers will get to understand cellular cleansing, and we're going to be bringing them to the two aspects together in a way that we're going to be talking about things, physical things, and their spiritual components, and then you're going to get this most incredible information download that will enable you to totally shift your life if you're ready to do that. With this information that Anita brings you, it's remarkable.
Yeah, and and the whole theme of this is the purification on all levels. So we're all one and interconnected. And you can't be purified completely, just the physical sense, without that spiritual component as well. So it's going to be a powerhouse class. I'm really excited about it.
You know, it's not just about clearing so that we can be an average human. It's actually about clearing so that we can ascend on the upward spiral and become embody our divinity more fully. And there's a lot of limitation that's been put on us, so much limitation, so much that is just enables us to grow into an adult, stagnate, and then decay. And this is going to be a gateway to removing that kind of limitation on what you are and what you can be and what your body can be, what your spiritual experience can be, what your whole being can be transformed into, and what your life, what it can really mean to be a human, to be a divine human. So she's the cutting edge. I've known many great spiritual teachers and been exposed to a lot, and I think she's bringing something through that is just out of the stratosphere. She's a remarkable woman, and I encourage anyone who's who feels called to take this course to do so.
So check out the site. Once we nail down the dates and the logistics of it, it'll be posted, and as questions come up, just let us know. I guess that's all for today.
Okay, thanks everyone. Go in and enjoy your lives to the fullest. Shed anything that doesn't apply. You know, move into your wholeness and just shine, shine, shine. There's no need anymore to walk around with this baggage. It's served us well. We've looked at it. We've made sense of it. We've seen what it can do to us, and it's just time to let it go and now move up that upward spiral and just shine and enjoy what life experience in a body with relationships, with creativity, with love emanating from your heart and a glorious opening in all your energy centers, what that can be like. That's where it's at. That's where the party is. Okay, have a wonderful month, and we'll speak with you at the last Thursday of February.